you to high five somebody near you. Tell them, neighbor, we got to pray just to make it today. We got to pray just to make it today. So when the Spirit moves you, start praying. Amen. Start praying. Shake that devil off. Shake that depression off. Shake that infirmity off. In the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Holy Spirit. Oh, we love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. So when the Spirit moves you to pray, pray. Amen. The family that prays together, it stays together. Amen. Got to pray to make it today. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. Wow, we've gotten off to a wonderful Black History Celebration Month. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now at this time, those five and under, you are dismissed to go to the nursery. We've got some special things prepared for you that you are going to enjoy very much. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the honor of your presence in our midst this day. Thank you. Well, saints, our new sermon series is entitled, Love is the Answer. Amen. Pastor Kelly, she got us off to an awesome start when she preached, Help, I think I'm falling in love. All right, could it be I'm falling in love with your baby? So she really handled it. Amen. Then Pastor Rick, he took the reins and kept going with rules for dating. Amen. We're much clearer on that now. Amen. Praise God. Hang those notes on the refrigerator and where else in your study. Amen. Give them to somebody who's going to need them and help them make good decisions. And today, saints, we're going to look at what happened to my marriage. Amen. Amen. But before we begin, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, Lord God. We say thank you. Thank you for the honor and privilege of your presence in our lives, that we have the joy of being able to pray, to commune with you, to conversate, to hear. And Lord, there you are always to guide and to love. And so, loving God, we praise you from the depths of our hearts this day. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the grace that you pour out freely on each of us. And so now as we actively listen to the preaching of your precious holy word, we ask that you would speak to us, Lord God. Speak to us. Show us how we can use the challenges, the joys, the struggles, and the celebrations of marriage to draw closer to you, closer to one another, and to grow in Christian character. So we say thank you ahead of time, Lord God, for the transforming work already begun in each and all of our hearts. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we all join together to say, Amen and amen. Hallelujah. How many have played this game, Whack-a-Mole? Okay, all right, all the young people, hands just shot up. Amen, Whack-a-Mole. And it's a fun game. It'll be going into Pastor Kelly's closet in the nursery. What the moles, they light up so that you have, when they light up, and see how fast you can knock down a mole, and before you know it, it comes up again. And it'll tell you who won. So like the green team versus the red team, and then you're both in the middle. You never know. This is what you got to handle together. And this is the red, you handle this, the green, and you both be whacking in the middle like that. Well, it's still talking. And it goes a long time so that you keep whacking and you keep whacking. Like, how long does this go on? How long does this go on? Well, guess what, saints? It's like life, amen. It's like life. Conflicts in marriage are like this game. Look, they're all lighted up now. Amen. You get one taken care of, and then another one pops over. Then it's two or three at the same time. Well, marriage is like that because issues keep popping up, amen, saints? Even when you don't want to even play anymore, they keep popping up. Well, what moles, saints, light up in a couple's life? What are these moles that we have to keep trying to beat down and they keep popping themselves up? What do married couples struggle with? What is it that we have from time to time intense fellowship moments about? I want you to look at your sermon note sheet, if you would. And I jotted down just a few of what married couples struggle, fight with, have intense fellowship over. And if you can relate to any of them, you can say, hoo-hoo. If not, it's all right, because somebody's going to relate to one. But married couples, we struggle with one another over chores, over money, over kids, over sex, over communication, over time. Time including time spent on the computer or time spent watching the television. We get into it over job situations and recreation. What are we going to do? We're going to go here. I don't want to go there. I don't feel like doing this. Over neatness. It's like, why does that closet door keep staying open? All kinds of annoying habits. Jealousy, amen. Past history, substance abuse, pointless or silly issues. You see, these are just a few of the tough issues, saints, that can provoke selfishness in our marriages. And the list goes on and on and on. And sooner or later, saints, reality hits. Hallelujah. And then these moles just keep coming and they keep coming. All right, now, the night owl early bird mole conflict was one of the moles that caught Pastor Rick and I once again this week. Now, this is a mole that I wish we could just keep down. I wish we can keep down, but we're still working on it. Pastor Rick is a morning bird. I am a night owl. When Pastor Rick wakes up in the morning, he says, "Good morning, Lord." And he goes out and he jogs and he's singing through the house. And I wake up and I say, "Good Lord, it's morning. Oh, it's morning. It's morning." And it is so funny, because when we met and I'm like, "Wow, that's nothing. He's a morning bird. I'm a night owl. That's not going to affect us very much." It does affect us. Oh, it causes much stress within our relationship. Now, his mother said Pastor Rick was born in the morning. My mom says I was born in the night, and he loves the morning and I love the night. Okay, so around 11 o'clock at night, I say, "Pastor Rick, come on and do the electric slide with me. Come on, Pastor Rick, let's do this thing together. Come on, Pastor Rick." And he like looks at his watch. He says, "It's 11 o'clock." And I'm like, "Come on, wake up." And he's feeling the same about me at 6 in the morning. Oh, no, oh, no. It's so funny. We've gone on several cruises, and I have never seen a sunrise yet. People tell me I've missed it, but I've seen every sunset. Hallelujah. And I want you all to know, Cleveland, Ohio, this is for the world to know, we have the best sunsets in the entire world. Just go down to the lake. There's no better than Cleveland. We're beautiful. We are beautiful. Now, neither is wrong that he is an early bird and I am a night owl. That's nothing wrong, but it's what we do with the clash of those differences. I do want you all to know that you've been covered 24 hours, because one of us is always up. One of us is always up, praise God. So you are covered no matter what. But it's what we do with our differences that matter. So the question for us today is, what happened to my marriage? Why is it, saints, that so many people who want and they need to be close, they're often filled with anger and disappointment and maybe even bitterness? Well, it's because sooner or later, reality does hit. And in spite of a couple's best intentions, everybody say best intentions, best intentions, there are eventually, it is the realization that comes to us. Two independent people cannot both have all their needs met all of the time. Whoo! Amen. In most relationships, the love and acceptance continues as long as the other person is maintaining an acceptable, taking care of needs, you know, meeting my level of expectation. And if the feelings are warm, you know, you got those oochie-goochie feelings Pastor Rick was speaking about last week, that, ooh, wait, just looking at the other person, just you could just feel things going up and down. You know, when they're warm, a husband and wife can enjoy each other's company. A spouse can overlook a partner's troubling or annoying traits. Amen. Now, last week, for example, Pastor Rick mentioned one of us has the tendency to be late somewhat. And I must say, fashionably late, praise God. Amen. So when the feelings are warm, he does a better job of overlooking that annoying trait. And he has a tendency to be impatient. And so when the feelings are warm, I can just say, okay. Yeah, I can still communicate. We can still express affection. But saints, when the feelings get cooled down, when that infatuation feeling ain't there, hallelujah. Oh, one of us, we're finding that, woo, I ain't got it in there to just keep on loving you, and you done left your socks there one more time. I'm just, you know what? I want you to know we are definitely from two different planets. We are not from the same planet. That's how we start feeling, saints. Oh, now needs at that time, they're not being met, and it's causing hurt, which is promotes defensiveness. I'm defensive, talk to the hand, whatever. It reduces positive communication. And then that mole keeps popping up, which heightens misunderstanding between us, which provokes conflict, which fuels anger and bitterness. And saints, spouses find themselves asking the question, what happened in my marriage? I thought it was going to be better than this. What happened? Well, saints, how to experience a better marriage. For a relationship to succeed, I want everybody to say with me, teamwork. Teamwork. Hallelujah. Teamwork is required. And both persons need to deny themselves of many personal wishes. Amen. Hallelujah. You may not like going to the movies, but go ahead and die to yourself and go to the movie with your spouse. Amen. Go ahead and watch that football game. Amen. Praise God. Paul said, die daily. You got to get up and die to self. Now, saints, everybody say self-sacrifice. All right, self-sacrifice must replace selfishness. All right, now, selfishness, it affects how we talk to each other. If I'm thinking about myself, I'm not going to be so interested in what's concerning you. Selfishness affects how we divide responsibilities in the home. I don't like cleaning them toilets. I don't like washing the dishes. I'm going to be selfish. You clean the toilet. You wash the dishes. Selfishness, it affects how we resolve conflicts and even how we spend time. Now, self-sacrifice as well affects how we talk to each other. Yes, honey, I guess I could go shopping with you today. Even though I don't care to shop much, I'm going to have a smile on my face because I'm denying myself for you today. Hallelujah. Selflessness, it affects responsibilities. Oh, let me help. I'll have the dishes done by the time you get home. Oh, don't worry, I'll put gas in the car for you. Don't worry. Yeah, selflessness. Even how we respond to conflicts, they're much, much loving how we spend our time. Self-sacrifice is not natural. Just turn to your neighbor and say, it ain't natural. Self-sacrifice, it ain't natural. Selfishness is natural. Selfishness is. Why is this so? Saints, if we lived in a world where people were perfect, then our marriages would be perfect. Amen. We would just be humming along in total harmony. But we don't live in a perfect world. And honestly, all of us are affected by our tendency towards selfishness and sin. What is sin? Well, sin is when we often go and choose to do wrong instead of going over here and choosing to do right. That is sin. Now, our New Testament text for today, Philippians 2, 3 through 5, in this passage, it teaches us that our goal should be, saints, to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, saints, in this passage, Paul tells us that selfishness can't be managed. Selfishness must be crucified. Crucified. All right, stomp that selfishness under your foot. It's got to be crucified. Stomped out, amen. And this passage tells us that Christ-likeness is one of the goals of our journey together. Christ-likeness. Say that, Christ-likeness. Now, to the question, what happened to my marriage? Saints, a needs-based approach to marriage will usually end up in frustration and resentment and bitterness when you don't meet my need like I'm expecting you to meet my need, and I'm just getting upset and frustrated about it. But listen, saints, if we're looking for something else in our marriage, and I want to say today, spiritual growth. Everybody say spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. If we look at our marriage as a place to learn how to love, I learn how to be able to receive where we really do need some work in our lives, to be able to confess our sin, to be able to get rid of that sin in our lives, then we will value the frustrating moments in our lives because they are helping us in our spiritual growth. Amen. Now, the prophet Isaiah, he said over 2,500 years ago when he described human selfishness like this, Isaiah 53:6, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. Saints, selfishness is possibly the most dangerous threat to oneness in marriage. Selfishness. Ooh, we can be selfish. Ooh, we can be mean. We can be hurtful. We can be bitter. We can be arrogant. We can be unwilling to forgive one another, and on and on and on. So it's no wonder husbands and wives struggle to get along and to journey as one together. And I want all of my needs met attitude. Me, 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 me. I want my needs met, and I want you to get them met. You know what? When you have that kind of attitude, it starts breaking down. It breaks down because we need a spirit of cooperation in our marriage. But if you're talking about me, 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 that's going to break down the necessary spirit of cooperation. And then that cycle keeps going down, and it keeps going until intimacy is lost. And then before you know it, the marriage has crumbled. Let's face it, we all need help. Help me, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. And if you don't think you need help, keep on living, because we all need help. We need help for inner strength, for God to enable us to love our spouse, to love others, you know, so that our marriages will have a chance. We need the Holy Spirit. Now, saints, our selfish, sinful behavior not only separates a husband from a wife, but our selfish, sinful behavior separates us from God as well. Our greatest source of help. Lift your eyes unto the hills from whence comes your help. It comes from the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And as the creator of the heavens and the earth, the originator and designer of marriage, God designed marriage. God knows how relationships work. Jesus wants us first and foremost to have a relationship with him and then seek him and look to him for guidance in our lives. Now, saints, not only does God help us with our problems that we face each and every day, not only does God help us with these molds that keep popping up in our lives, God also helps us with hurts that we had in the past, with scars that we have brought and now are present in our lives today. You see, God loves us, saints, and God wants us to enjoy the benefits of being God's child, which includes God's help in our marriage, in our relationship. Well, I would like to share an illustration shared by Gary Chapman. It's got two scenarios in it involving a typical husband and wife. In the first scenario, scenario A, we'll just call the couple John and Lisa. They do not acknowledge any dynamic involvement of God in their lives. They're not looking to God. They're not thinking about God. And scenario B, John and Lisa have more than a relationship with each other. They also have a relationship with Jesus Christ. All right, here we go. It's Saturday morning, and John wants to play golf with his buddies. He rolls out of bed and tells Lisa that he's leaving and won't be back until about 4 p.m. Lisa complains, "You promised that we're going to go on a picnic today." "I never said that," John says, in his voice on edge. "Anyways, I haven't played golf in 2 weeks. It's a beautiful day, and I'm out of here." John slams the door on the way out. Lisa feels snubbed, and after shedding tears, she stomps hungrily through the apartment. She picks up pillows off the couch, and she throws them across the room. "I'll show you, fathead," she yells. She calls a girlfriend and makes a date to go out for lunch and for some shopping. At the mall, Lisa buys $300 worth of new clothes. Now, she needed one new outfit. But by buying a few extra things, she knows John is going to hit the roof. Their credit card is now nearly maxed out. Meanwhile, John is finishing his golf round. He stops with his buddies for a drink at the golf club bar. One drink soon leads to two drinks. John notices how attractive the waitress is. As the young woman is giving John his third drink, he whispers a flattering remark in her ear. The woman acts insulted, but her smile indicates that John has scored some points. The next time she returns, he notices her phone number on the napkin placed under his drink. So John tucks the paper in his pocket. John arrives home at 5 p.m., walking in with a bit of wobble. Lisa is watching TV with the volume blasting. He notices a pile of packages on the couch, and angrily he goes over and cuts off the TV, and he points at the packages and he starts yelling. Lisa jumps up and starts swearing at him. She walks into the bedroom and slams the door behind her. They argue far into the night. John ends up sleeping in the guest bedroom. Scenario B, showing how to have a better marriage. It's Saturday morning, and John wants to play golf with his buddies. He rolls out of bed and tells Lisa that he's leaving and won't be back until about 4 p.m. Lisa acts surprised and says, "Oh, I thought we were going to have a picnic today." "Oh, can't we do that tomorrow?" John says, his voice on edge. "Anyways, I haven't played golf in 2 weeks, and it's such a beautiful day. I'm out of here." John shuts the door hard on the way out. Lisa feels snubbed, and after shedding some tears, she stomps angrily around through the apartment and throws some pillows off the couch across the room. "You fathead," she yells, wishing she could tell John to his face just how angry she feels. Lisa decides to go for a walk, and by the time she passes through a park, her hurt and anger are subsiding. On her way back home, she's able to pray, "Oh, dear Jesus, I'm really mad at John, and I think he's being selfish. Please help me not to be selfish too, and let my anger get out of control." Lisa decides to call a girlfriend, and they make a date for an early lunch and some shopping. While at the mall, Lisa buys one new outfit. Meanwhile, John is finishing the front nine of his golf round. He and his buddy stop for a sandwich and a drink at the club snack bar. John notices how pretty the girl behind the counter is, but he just gives her a friendly smile and walks to join his friends. Earlier this morning, John had thought Lisa was pretty whiny and clutchy to him, unfairly wanting him to keep him from having a good time with his buddies. But now John feels guilty for how he treated her, and he's not enjoying himself. "Hey guys," John announces, "I'm gonna quit for today. I'm gonna go home. I need to spend some time with Lisa." Two of his friends tease him, oh man, but John sticks with his decision. When Lisa gets home at 1 o'clock, she is surprised to find John sitting at the kitchen table. She notices the picnic basket is out and half filled with food and drinks. "Why are you home so early?" she asks, the hurt still evident in her voice. "I'm sorry for the way I acted this morning," John says. "I wanted to play golf and I didn't care about your needs. I guess I was being kind of selfish. Will you forgive me?" Lisa bites her lips. She still is hurt. John looks like he's sorry, and it is pretty incredible that he quit his golf round early. So she says, "Yes, I forgive you," quietly. As they hug, John says, "Could we kind of start this day over? I came home thinking we might still have time for that picnic. Do you want to go?" Lisa resists the temptation to pout and make John pay. Instead, she smiles, she nods her head and says, yes, the day turns around for both John and Lisa. Now, Pastor Rick and I always say a bad day does not have to turn into a bad night. Praise God. Amen. So the day turned around for them. The anger has been cleansed from both of them. Their relationship is like the dew in the morning. Gently rest upon their heart and upon their relationship. And their relationship feels fresh as the earth after a spring shower. So in both of their lives, saints, Jesus had been at work in her life, in his life, individually, amen, giving them the strength, first of all, to deny themselves, to be self-sacrificing and not selfish, and secondly, to forgive. Those are two actions that are essential for love, denying oneself and being able to forgive. But they're very difficult to do consistently and authentically without help. We need your help, Lord God. We need your strength and your power. Of course, saints, these two scenarios offer just a surface view of a complicated interpersonal situation. But it does illustrate why God's involvement individually in the lives of a husband, individually in the lives of a wife, and then together in their lives as a couple, and how that makes such a difference. Amen. You see, saints, the Christian walk is not simply just a list of principles and rules for us to follow. The Christian walk is a dynamic, daily journey and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise your name. It's living moment to moment, interacting with God and just seeing God in every situation and being able to receive God's guidance and God's power, amen, in our lives. And we can live the way God designed for us to live. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God can guide you. God can guide you. God can guide you. For those of us who are married, God can guide us to a better marriage. Anybody here, you got a good marriage, but you want even a better marriage. Hallelujah. Even better marriage. Amen. For those of you who may one day be married, hallelujah, God can guide you. But for all of us, number one, Jesus wants us to know him. Jesus wants to be first in our lives, to be in relationship with him, to trust him, to walk with him, all of us. Now, saints, God's purpose for marriage is more than we can imagine. Hallelujah. Now, last week, Pastor Rick was talking about infatuation and how we just fall head over heels with your baby, and we almost get dumb in some ways, you know, because we're not thinking right. But if the purpose of married saints is simply to enjoy feelings of infatuation where that little willy-willies are going all up and down and to feel happy all the time, I'm just so happy with you all the time. Guess what? If that's what marriage was simply to enjoy, we'd all have to get a new marriage every 2 or 3 years. We'd all need a new marriage. Amen. Any situation, saints, that calls us to confront our own selfishness has enormous spiritual value. Enormous spiritual value. Now, if we are serious about pursuing spiritual growth through marriage, we have to go ahead and convince ourselves. We got to just refrain from asking that spiritually dangerous question, which is, did I marry the right person? Oh, no, I don't know if I married the right person. Did I marry the right person? Once we have exchanged vows, saints, little can be gained spiritually from asking this question. A far better alternative to questioning one's choice is to learn how to live with one's choice. Praise your name, Lord God. This is who you got. Ask God for help and how to live with that person. Amen. God desires that we use the challenges, the joys, the sorrows, the pain, the celebrations of marriage to draw us closer to God and closer to one another and deeper and richer in Christian character in our lives. Now, friends, if you want to become more like Jesus, I can't imagine a better thing to do than for you to get married. Amen. If you want to become more like Jesus, you couldn't do a better thing than to go and get married. Because when you get married, marriage forces you to face some character issues. Woo! You never have to face otherwise. So if you want to really, really, really become more like Jesus, go ahead and get married. Amen. Now, if you want to do more for Jesus, single people, stay single. Amen. Because marriage takes a lot of work, and it's a lot of sacrifice, and it's a lot of time. So if you want to do more for Jesus, stay single. But if you want to become more like Jesus, whoo, go ahead and get married. Amen. We'll see you at Marriage Sensation. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to say to every couple here today, whether you're feeling good or not so good, happy, sad, frustrated with your marriage right now, I want to commend to you, work on your marriage. Work on your marriage. Because your odds of finding happiness are amazingly good if you stick it out. According to one University of Chicago study, 77% of couples who describe themselves as very unhappy in their marriages but who stayed together 5 years later describe their marriages as either very happy or quite happy. Hallelujah. And interesting enough, unhappy couples who did divorce remained unhappy even apart. You know, it's natural, saints, that in the midst of our pain and loneliness and frustration and overwhelming burdens to just feel like, woo, woo, I want out of here. Later, see you later. I'm kicking rocks. I'm doing whatever, but I'm out of here. It makes you feel like that. But let me say to us today, circumstances change. Circumstances always don't stay the same. You might be having financial pressures right now, but who knows? In a year, in a month, you don't know. Your financial situation could be different. Circumstances change. Children do grow up, hallelujah. They do grow up. Some of them come back, and that's okay. Amen. Amen. The experts say marital stress often peaks when teenagers are in the house. I don't know where they got that from. Amen. And they say marital stress peaks. And circumstances change. Your job circumstances, your health issues, you know, it fluctuates. So relationships can change too, praise God. But finding help is the key. Now, one vital source for marriage help for us is Marriage Sensation. Amen. Hallelujah. How many here today, you attend Marriage Sensation? Amen. Amen. We're going to give God praise offering for Marriage Sensation. We thank God for Katie and Walter. I mean, you all have helped all of us. Praise God. And it's so funny. At the end, before we leave, Katie and Walter said, now everybody stay married and we'll see you again next month. Stay married. Praise God. Okay, well, how do we make our marriages better? I just put an outline of a few steps and we'll just quickly go through. The first says what, saints? Make a choice. Yes, here at Glenville, we are very big on the idea that the power of our choice is so important, but that what we choose makes a difference. It makes a difference. And so you have to make choices, and after you make a choice, dedicate yourself to that choice and doing what's necessary to make that choice happen. Amen. Make a choice about your relationship. Then the second is what? Assess the situation. Look honestly at your spouse. Look honestly at yourself, where you are, who you are. What do you want to do? Where do you two want to go? What are your dreams? And what are you each willing to do? Assess the situation. Now, it's scary because it requires being vulnerable, but that's the only way to have the kind of marriage that we really desire to have. So as to what you're each willing to do, don't keep looking at the other one and say, if they do such and so, then I'll do what I said. If I'm watching them, if they don't do it, I'm not going to do it. Focus on yourself and just go ahead and keep the commitment as to what you said you was going to do for the relationship. And I'm telling you, God is faithful. God will be working not only in your heart, but in your spouse's heart and in your marriage together. So just stick with what you have decided to do for your marriage. Amen. Now, and one other thing I want to say on this, the experts say that men, you have the advantage in this situation because women are far more likely than men to respond positively to attempts to prove marriage. So we're more positively responsive to attempts to improve our marriages. So guys, make the most of that. All right, come on. Come on, show your love now. Love like you mean it now. Because statistics say we're far more likely to respond. Now, we give praise to God because they found it to be true. So let's just go ahead and change our marriages. Now, thirdly, what is it? Change your thinking. This is the real battleground. The real battleground is in our mind, saints. Our habits, our actions have gotten us where we are, or they're the result of where we are, who we are. So changing what you do requires first changing what you think. Amen. So daily when you get up, you think thoughts like, oh, I have positive thoughts about marriage today. I have positive thoughts about my spouse today. Even if you have to step over some of the things they've left out, I'm thinking positive about my spouse today. I'm thinking positive about my marriage today. Amen. And it will change your disposition. Amen. Because really, the world isn't going to end because of stuff on the floor. Amen. Amen. But you don't want your relationship to end. You want it to go on in love and in joy. All right. Now, another thing that we can do is to arm ourselves with information. Oh, saints, there are so many great books out there. There's so many, many great books. Pastor Rick gets tired of me just going to Amazon.com and getting these books. But there is one book that I just want to recommend to every couple. And it is entitled Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas. And the title says, what if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? The book is off the hook. It's awesome. Now, there is another book, The Love Languages. And we're doing some of this in Marriage Sensation. And also, we've done this in Marriage Sensation, and it comes back every session. The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. We're always being able to go back to what we've learned there and how it helps us to be able to love one another and to sacrifice one for another. Now, these are just two books. If you want a list of books, I got the books. Amen. And I just want to say, not only to us here today, but to those who are watching by live streaming, those who are watching either by DVD or you're watching on our website, we want to invite you to Marriage Sensation too. So we extend to you every second Sunday at the pastor's home, 5:00, and just call the church for more information. But we are going to invite anybody who wants a better marriage to come to Marriage Sensation by Glenville New Life Community Church. Amen. So that has just gone out. Amen. Now, saints, I want you to look what I put in the sermon note sheet is where it says Gary Thomas in his book, Sacred Marriage. I took a little bit out of that, and I want us to read this together today. All right, together, saints. Marriage has a sacred purpose. The intimacy and closeness of two married people creates a perfect setting for growth, maturing, and lessons in holiness. Building a strong marriage is one of the greatest challenges in the world. God desires that we use the challenges, joys, struggles, and celebrations of marriage to draw us closer to God and grow in Christian character. Now, please, amen, let us just proclaim to the world what marriage teaches us. Together, saints, marriage teaches us to love. Marriage teaches us to respect others. Good marriage fosters good prayer. Got to pray. Marriage exposes our sin. Marriage builds the spiritual discipline of perseverance. Marriage can build in us a servant's heart. Marital sexuality can provide spiritual insight. And for those who come to Marriage Sensation next week, Katie and Walter are still teaching on sex and marriage. So come on out. Come on out. We're having a good time on this topic. Amen. The next, marriage can make us more aware of God's presence. And marriage can develop our spiritual calling, mission, and purpose. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Saints, let's join our hearts right now in prayer. Oh, great and loving God, you who are the God of hope, we pray that you would give us a new vision for all you want to do in each of us through our spouse. Make it so, Lord, what you want to do in us through our spouse. Give us a new vision and replace resentment with anticipation and excitement, with joy in our spirits, and together, pep in our step. And it's in Jesus' mighty and glorious name we all join together to say, amen and amen.